One of my earliest and strongest childhood memories is going to see the circus with my mum and dad. I remember walking with them through the crowds, past the circus caravans and seeing the big tent. And as a child, I enjoyed it all. It was just so amazing to me. The smells of the straw and the animals, seeing the size of the elephants. I suppose, like many children, I was looking around in wide-eyed wonder. The clowns were funny, the high wire and aerobatics were thrilling, but the thing I especially enjoyed was the lion tamer, who went into the cage with five or six growling lions, and throughout that time in the cage just had me spellbound. Now, I know now that these shows were not good for the animals, but as a five-year-old in the 1960s, this was an incredible sight. Lions and tigers and elephants all tamed and doing tricks on command. I thought the lion tamer was both brave and clever to have these snarling lions jumping through fiery hoops and doing other such tricks. Well, today, we come to one of the most difficult ideas in the Bible, and that idea is about taming the tongue. I wonder how you're doing with that. Have you tamed your tongue? I hope no one asks me that question, because while for the most part it might seem that I have tamed my tongue, there are times when it seems to instantly revert to its wild side. Earlier in this letter, James had said, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And we can fully understand that words spoken in anger can be cutting and can damage relationships. Ill-considered words can inflict harm onto others. But even at times when we're trying to be thoughtful and speak calmly, we can even then, in ignorance, say the wrong thing in the wrong way. The tongue, our speech, is our main way of communicating. And because of that, it can set us on a good course, or it can lead us into trouble. As we consider these verses in James today, we find that they can serve as a reminder to us to take care with our speech. They can serve as a warning for us of the destruction that unguarded words can cause. They can also serve us as an encouragement, reminding us to use our tongues to praise God and also to bless others. James began speaking about teachers, noting that they were going to be judged more strictly than others. And this serves as a reminder for us to take care with our speech. He knows that those who teach the gospel need to be very careful with their words and how they speak to others. Now today, I don't want to dwell on the place of teachers other than to assure you that I don't take this privilege lightly. Some of you will know at the top of my sermon messages, I have the words from Ephesians, "Speak the truth in love." And every week when I start to prepare a message, I see this at the top of my sheet. And then when it comes time to preach, there it is again, reminding me of the need to speak the truth in love. We need to be so careful in that. And we are reminded of what Jesus said. "I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And so it's really important for us to understand this, if we are teachers or not, that the words that we use will come back to us on that day of judgment. And there will be those things that we have said, both good and bad. We will be made accountable for what we have said and how we have said it. And in the light of this coming judgment, we are reminded that we need to take care with our speech. In the verses that we're focusing on today in James, looking at the place of the tongue, it also serves as a warning of how unguarded words can cause destruction. James, in the way that he's writing, gives us reason to suspect that the people he was writing to were not speaking to each other with love. Perhaps they were being slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry with each other. It's easy to imagine people in that situation in the early church, perhaps their teachers, being at odds with each other and speaking out of turn, disrupting the peace of the church, and even speaking in ways that might cause division among them. Perhaps the things that they were saying were tending to undermine the place of others. They may have been gossiping, disparaging each other. So James now returns to his discussion about the place of the tongue. Earlier in the letter, he had written that those who do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Do we keep a tight rein on our tongues? I quite enjoy watching a good ventriloquist because they can be so entertaining and funny. A ventriloquist gets away with saying the most outrageous things because it appears that it is not them, but the dummy who is saying all these terrible things. The ventriloquist gives the illusion of having a tight rein on their own tongues, even scolding the dummy for being so rude, when in actual fact, it's the ventriloquist who's carrying on both sides of this conversation. Perhaps most of the time, we can be like the ventriloquist with a tight rein on our tongues. But occasionally, the inner dummy speaks, saying something inappropriate, rude, or cutting. You know, there have been times when I have been speaking, and in the midst of what I'm saying, I suddenly find my mind engages, and I'm thinking to myself, should I really be saying this? I'm sure we all have regrets because at some time or other we've said the wrong thing. The psalmist understood this problem and so spoke of putting a muzzle on his mouth. When someone is speaking out of turn, we might rebuke them by saying, put a muzzle on it. I'm sure there have been times when you have been listening to someone else speak and perhaps you begin to feel embarrassed about what they're saying, have a sense of shame or disbelief, and you're just wishing that they would stop speaking now before they did more damage. Well, James considers our tongues to be the weakest link in our bodies, and so he is very concerned about the way that we speak. Warren Wiersbe points out that James gives us six pictures of the tongue. He speaks about the bit, the rudder, fire, poison, a fountain, and a fig tree. And he puts these into three groups. And he writes saying, the bit and the rudder have power to direct. The fire and the poison have power to destroy. The fountain and the fig have power to delight. And that's a helpful way of thinking about what James is speaking about here. James knows that words can have good effect, But in this text, he's mainly thinking of the damage that it can be inflicted by words. Has anyone ever told a lie about you or to you that has caused you harm? Have you ever deceived others with your words? Have you ever used your words like weapons, like daggers thrown to cut the heart, to cut the spirit? Has your heart been wounded by the words of someone you trusted? I think we have experienced these things in different ways in our lives, so that we know the power of words as we speak them and the power of words as they come into our lives. Like a bit in the mouth of a horse or a rudder on a ship, the tongue can set or change the course of our lives, sometimes for good, sometimes for ill. The tongue can easily steer us in the wrong direction. Like a spark in the forest, the tongue can set lives ablaze. We know our world is suffering because of climate change. And because of that, many places are increasingly susceptible to forest fires. In recent years, we have seen fires in Australia so intense and burning over such a wide area and causing death and destruction. And they have been so big that the smoke from those fires have drifted right across to New Zealand and darkened our skies. Like a spark, one wrong word can destroy an otherwise flourishing life and even the lives of those around them. Like a forest fire, our words can burn a destructive path, can quickly destroy a reputation, can quickly rip through relationships, leaving us with embers and hot spots in our lives that we will spend years trying to dampen down. We know this in our own lives, and some of us still have tender wounds because of words that may have been spoken as long ago as our childhood. And some words may still cause us ongoing suffering, which may never fully be repaired until we go to be with the Lord. And so in the passage that we're looking at, James is speaking about a blaze that he says is ignited by the fires of hell. To James, the tongue can be like a flamethrower kindled by the fires of hell. And this is an awful picture of hellfire being fanned to flame as rumors and gossip spread like wildfire. Because of this hellish destructive fire, James also speaks of the tongue as being like restless evil, full of deadly poison, which can corrupt the whole body. Very sadly, in our present day, we are hearing the venomous lies of President Putin, who is painting Ukrainians and especially the country's leadership as neo-Nazi drug addicts and portraying his invasion of their land as saving the Ukrainians from genocide. You know, it's not hard for us to imagine such vitriol being sparked by the fires of hell. And this is not simply a war of words, but has spilled over into the destruction of cities and towns, with the loss of life as missiles and cluster bombs are used against civilians. Of course, our words will never have the worldwide impact that a national leader can have. Even so, we know that our words can damage those around us, those who are close to us. And with this in mind, perhaps we should pray the prayer of David. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. This is such a valuable prayer for us to focus on, Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. David didn't want to inadvertently say something that he would regret, so he asked for God's help to guard and restrain his speech. James highlights the problem we are facing by saying, out of the mouth, out of the same mouth, come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And we know this should not be. It's inconsistent. It's hypocritical to praise God with one breath and then to curse people with the next. The Apostle Paul wrote, we should bless and not curse. And it's fitting for a mouth that praises God to be used to bless others rather than to curse them. And so this gives us an encouragement to use our tongues both to praise God and to bless others. Beloved, we who delight in the Lord must take care with our speech, to speak the truth in love, to rein in our tongues, and to direct our speech in ways that are wholesome, using our words to build others up and to encourage them. I'm sure that James knew the teaching of Jesus, who said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is so obvious to us, isn't it? The things that are in a person's heart are the things that will come out through their lips, through their actions. The good or evil that is stored within us finds its way out of our lives in the things that we say. It's commonly said, even back to ancient times, the eyes are the window of the soul. In a similar vein, we could say the tongue is a window of the heart. What we say reflects who we are. Our inner values and our true motives are seen in our and heard in our speech. We should be doing our best so that the good that is within us comes from our hearts into the things that we say to the people who are around us. What is needed is for our lives to have consistency between what is in our hearts and what is on our lips. Perhaps King David summed this up best when he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And like him, we should be praying that both our words and our hearts are in unison, that together they are acceptable to God. Well, what difference does this make to us? Today, let the words of James serve as a reminder to us to take care of our speech, the things that we say. Let them serve as a warning of the destruction that unguarded words can cause. And let them serve us as an encouragement that we might remember to use our tongues both in praise of God and in blessing of others. Rein in the tongue. Take control. Tame the tongue and make it obedient to you. Be like the rider of a horse who guides the horse with the small bit that it's in its mouth, or like the sailor who stands at the helm and directs the rudder to guide in a good way. As Christians, we should be seeking that consistency of heart and speech so that what we say reflects our new nature in Christ. And so, friends, be on your guard. knowing that an unbridled tongue can be like a spark that will set off a wildfire of hell, bringing havoc and destruction to our lives and to the lives of the people around us. We should not be using language in the company of others that we would not repeat at the throne of God. Rather, we should be, as Paul reminds us, allowing our speech to always be full of grace. So perhaps in the week ahead, you could use the words of the psalmist as your daily prayer as you start the day. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. And remember this, wherever you may go through the day, and whoever you may be in conversation with, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.